Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared podcast. This is your host, Curtis, my co-host, Gaia, and we are here today with Laurent, who is from Kilter. He's going to be talking to us about being a full-time musician because he's a full-time musician and he lives in New York City, sometimes France as well, but he's a full-time guy, and so we thought we would have him on to ask him some questions and see if he can enlighten us on how to become a full-time musician. So Laurent, first of all, thanks for coming on. Good to talk to you.
And thank you.
Cool. So very first question I want to ask you is, can you give us a nutshell version of who you are, what you do?
Sure. Of course, I'm a bass player, also a producer of music, mainly in jazz music, but mixed with a lot of extreme music too. That's the basic of the band Kilter. In fact, we try to really mix the two ambiences and two genres. And so yes, in fact, since a few years now, I'm added to the fact that I'm a full-time job musician, I'm also a producer. So I just want to make a living with the music I make. That's also another step, if you see what I mean. It's just I don't really play with other musicians or other artists like singers or something like this. I did that a lot before. I don't really do that anymore. So in fact, I'm French, so I was based in Paris for a long time, and I'm in New York since 2017. And I'm there to make a lot of different projects with a musician I can find in New York, because they're a bit different, and I like to be there. It motivates me. It's very short. It's not really precise, but I think that's like a bio.
Cool. I like it. So can you, just as a very, well, second thing, since I already asked you the first question, can you kind of go back to when, so you've been a full-time musician since what date? I think you said, but then it slipped my mind.
When I started to be a full-time musician?
When you stopped working any other jobs and you were just a full-time musician, what
for other artists, you mean?
No, just in general. So like when you started working in music, just in music.
I started to live because of your music since I'm 17. So,
you've been doing it since
I stopped, since 92.
Oh, yeah, wow.
1992. I never did another job, in fact. I always make music.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that makes things even more interesting here. Okay, good. So you started when you were 17, just being a full-time musician. So how did you how does one just go from being, like, I guess in high school to just being a full-time musician?
In fact, I was in high school. In France, it's a bit strange because we go to the baccalaureate, but I didn't go there. I stopped before to go in a professional musician school, in north of France, and another one, a jazz school in Paris after. But I was at the conservatory before for the classical guitar, for a while too. And it's like studies too, if you know what I mean. But I never went to university, for example, because I really was in music since my young age, in fact.
Cool.
But I come from a university family. My mother was a chemist and my father is a mathematician. So in fact, I didn't want to go that way and to really stay in music. And that's really a challenge, to make money with music and to have to make a living with that. It's really like, it's a full-time job, but it's a really full-time one. It's like no holidays, nothing,
Nice. Gaia, I'm sure you got something to ask here, so I'm going to let you ask the next one.
Yeah, I was wondering, because there's a big difference with being a musician and also being a producer. And I was curious to know how, like, you went from, like, producing music?
Yes, in fact, that's a bit logical, you know, for me, that really linked to the fact I want to make a living with the music I make, because it's more and more difficult now to be signed with a label or something like this, which can help you to make an album. I think it was already difficult before, but now it's even more difficult. So I decided to create my own, entity, like my own label, but it's not really that. It's like more collective, you know, like something to really organize everything around a musical project, to find concerts, to work about the publishing, about the videos, about that's something we are still building now. And for me to be a producer, it's really to have an idea about how has to sound a project and how to put together a musician too, you know. You have an idea about it could be great if that topic could be in an album with that kind of people, this one and this one. And what I do is I make all the effort I can to put that people together and to make it happen. But when to make it happen, it really to make an album, of course, to make gigs and to pay people too, as much as we can. So to find people who can finance, like grants, foundations, people who have collective, who has money, who can help you to really have the possibility to pay also the musicians and all the people around them. That's how I see my producer role in music. I don't produce other people, if you know what I mean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Gaia, did you want to follow up? Because I'm going to go on to something else.
I'm just curious, is there a reason why you don't want to produce other music? Other people's music, I mean?
No, because I'm still a musician. I don't want to produce things in which I'm not playing.
Okay, it's fair.
Otherwise, otherwise you just take care of admin shit for the others, and I really don't want to do that.
But can't you make more money doing it for other people?
I have no idea.
Fair.
But I'm not really interested by the money itself. Interested to need the money I need for making something.
Fair. So now, where do I want to go from this? So let's say, so when you're trying to get the finances together for something, what's kind of the process you go through in order to find people to get the funds that you need, if you're willing to say?
To find the funds, you mean?
Yeah, how do you find people to invest in the project, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That's a big topic. It's a bit magic. Yeah. In fact, when you are motivated for something, you have people who help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really how it works. It's the same for, you know, like people who have money and they want to help artists. That's the same for foundation or grant institutes. You really have to argument what you are doing in a good way, to really explain things, like to create a need for that people to help you by giving you some money. And that's also the same when you are looking for concert or booking a tour, you know, you really have to argument. People want to be excited that you are here. That's the first thing. And then you can have some money from them.
So basically you have to learn how to be a salesperson, I guess. Is that right?
I think you have to learn that you are not interesting as a musician. To be interesting as a musician is not just a question of ego.
Yeah.
It's also how you talk about what you do. Yeah. Or you are lucky. But I can't count on luck, you know. If you want to make something really underground or something really special, if you are waiting for the moment when you have luck enough to make it possible, you will never do it. You really have to do it and to explain to people what you are doing. And then, you know, I think what I want to live in music is that the normal musician life. which is not linked to fame. Because for me, fame, it's great. I worked with many famous people and I made a lot of money like this, and etc. But for me, that's an anomaly, that's something not normal. What I want to do is not to wait for this. I want to really, like a daily life, in fact, but in music.
Fair. So that's a lot to unpack there. So now let's kind of get back to where we were at before. So, okay, so now if you, okay, so like, let's say like Gaia's a musician. So like, if someone like her wanted to become full time, but you know, they have to work another job and stuff like that, how do you think that they could transition from going working a day job into being a full-time musician?
First, you really have to know if you really want to do that.
Fair.
And if you really have to express something so strongly that you have to do it. I think about that because I have many friends who are very great musicians. In jazz, for example, even in metal music. Mm-hmm. And they don't really make money enough with their music, because that's it. And they don't want to play in shitty bands, and they don't want to play shitty music. And then they prefer to have another job. And then they are free to do what they want and to go very, very, very far in the very extreme music they want to make. For example, I take a friend of mine who is a double bass player, is one of the best one I know. And in fact, sometimes I make some videos in which I interview also musicians and I ask the same kind of question to them. And we were talking, he was explaining why he likes New York and why, you know, for him it's very interesting how are composing people there, and etc. And at the end of the interview, you know, we were packing everything. And he told me, you know what, I forgot to tell you, but maybe it was important. In fact, I'm a gardener. Okay. So the guy is, you can't imagine how he plays double bass. And in fact, all day long, he works like a gardener. And then he works the double bass in the afternoon. And during the night, he plays in the clubs in New York for not a lot of money. So that's why I think it's very important to really think about, why do you want to do that as a full-time job like musician? Because even in my case, I don't play music all the time, in fact, because now I'm a bit older than before, I'm a bit more efficient. So now when I go in a studio, I don't need 1 week to record something. I just need 1 day or 2 days to do an album, in fact.
Wow.
So we skill tell, that's it. We just go in the studio, everything is already done, in fact, you know? So, I put a lot of time in admin things to asking some money, grants, to put organize all the biographies, or everybody organizing photographies, and that's a lot of time too. And is it considered like a musician job? I don't know, but for me, yes, that's linked to all the music I want to do. But it's not really, you know, just playing music. So that's a choice to make. And you have to accept to be a full-time musician with your own project. You have to accept that you will do something else than music.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a paradox, but that's it.
Cool. Guy, did you have a follow-up on that one? You're on mute. Huh?
Yeah, I know, that's sorry. I actually had a question.
Sorry.
Do you think the fact that like you're like a full-time musician and like other people are a full-time musician, that you do have to compromise your artistic vision to stay full-time?
No, I don't want to compromise nothing about the artistic vision. That's why I work a lot in the other side, in fact. If I would want to make a lot of money, yes, I would have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want, and I don't want, and I know that's a good choice, because since I worked with famous people already, and you are a bit more paid for that, it was, you know, it's like wasting your time, because it's not really what you want to do, in fact. So it's always a frustration. And all the things you want to do there, you will do them later. But you need to have that experience to play with famous people to really know that that's not really the most important thing I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. When you have an artistic vision, because when you are a musician, you can also accept to be a very good sideman. That's a hard job, you know? Mm-hmm. And to really do that for the rest of your life, that's really great. And then you can have a comfortable life with doing music only. Mm-hmm. But for your own project, you really have to think in a better way, like to be a bit smart about her, and to take a lot of risk too. So to not be you have to be stable enough to accept that sometimes it will be very hard, like actually. And at the moment, it's really difficult, even more than before, in fact, because the next year will be difficult. You really have to find ways to, you know, to hold on and to continue to believe in what you do and to continue to book, and even it's really hard. And if you are not stable in your head, you will start a project and 2 or 3 months after, you will stop it because you take too much risk.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing.
So basically you're saying that you at least feel that the person needs to have like a real desire to create versus wanting fame. Is that right?
Yeah. It's not only a desire, it's really a need. It's a question of life or death. Huh?
Fair.
If you don't do it, you really miss something.
Interesting.
And you do. Mm.
So, okay, I'm just trying to think how I want to phrase this here, because I don't want it to sound dumb. But so what do you think is the difference between someone that wants to just... Actually, how do I want to phrase this? So there are lots of people that want to just be famous. There's lots. They just want to have fame. They just want to have the money and that type of thing. Are you saying you don't think that they would last with a career in music if they didn't really like have that want to create, but they more want the fame? Is that what you're saying?
First, you have to analyze what means to be famous.
Fair.
Everybody can be famous. That like everybody can win at the lottery. That's a bit the same. If you take 1,000 people and they do exactly the same work, you know, on their music, it's good or not, that's not the point. Maybe one will be famous and you can be this one. So that's a risk to take. And I will not say that it can't happen. It can, but when you want to do your job, like to really find a way and to find strategies to do something with a reasonable amount of money to make a living, you will have to not really think about fame, you know, because it can happen. And I hope it will happen for somebody if it's important. But you always have to think too that you can also be in between, like to have money enough to live normally and to do things maybe a bit more extreme, a bit more underground, a bit more risky, you know, in your music too. Because sometimes people, as you said before, to make a lot of compromises in your music to be famous. And you are not even sure you will be famous, you know. So at the end, if you are not, imagine your frustration, you will leave, in fact. You don't really like what you do and you are not famous. That's really difficult.
You've kind of sold. Yeah, you've sold out in that case. Okay. Gaia, did you have another one you wanted to follow up with?
I have a question, but more about when we were talking about funding. I was curious if you had any experience with crowdfunding before.
Yes.
How was it?
Not really good. I always had to put some money at the end. it's a bit linked to the topic of fame, in fact. I think when you are very famous, you have to do it. But, mm-hmm. you know, to just ask to your family and your friends some money to make something, it's like, okay, just ask them. Fair enough. I don't know. I don't really have a good opinion of that. I tried already. Maybe I will try again later. I don't really know. I like the idea at the beginning, like, okay, people who put some money in crowdfunding, they are part of the production of it. But I think we lost a bit that idea.
Yeah, maybe.
You remember that when it started, like you make an album or I don't know, a show or something, people they could put some like maybe 20, 200, 500, and they could be a part of the production process, in fact. But I don't know if it still exists.
I feel like there's like two kind of ways that people do crowdfunding. You have when you're about to produce an album and like people put money to help with the production. But there's also another way that people are using crowdfunding now that's like more for pre-orders. So it's like it's two different things. I do prefer it more in the process because I feel like you include your fans better. But when it comes to just the pre-order, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I prefer the pre-orders, you know, like on Bandcamp. That works very well.
Yeah.
Because that really, understandable process. In fact, people, they pre-order, they buy it, they will receive it, and that's all. That's easy. And you don't take risk for yourself. Either.
Cool.
But that's a real question, you know, for a young musician. Ah, there is something I would like to say about that. When you want to spend a lot of time of your life to make something different than music, I mean, like looking for money to make an album or asking for grants, collaboration, etc. If you do that very young, you don't use that time to work your instrument. And that's also a dilemma because I think when you are 20 or 21, 22, you really have to work your instrument and to really be good, you know, to really spend a lot of time on it. And if you are in the production process too young, maybe it's not the best way to do it. Maybe you have to ask to wait a bit. And when you are good in an instrument, when you are efficient, when you can win music, when you can, for example, we do just a concert in exchange with 1 week in the skis, you know, like in France. We do that every year with friends, and we have to play 20 songs. And 20 songs, I don't know. So I have to, you know, write everything in 1 day or 2 days and to play them. And when you are a professional musician and when you want to make money to play with other people, you really have to be very efficient and to be able to write your music, to remember it, to learn a lot of tunes in a very short time. You know, that's something you have to learn when you are young. And if you spend too much time to be famous or to find money to make projects, I think you can miss something very important. That's something I can add.
Interesting.
I feel like the role of being a musician in the past 10, 20 years has really shifted where you're like, you can't just be a good musician. You have like to learn marketing. You have to learn how to use social media. You have to learn so many things that are outside of your instrument that like sometimes it gets overwhelming. That's my opinion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course, that's really hard. That's a hard task to understand how it works, to have time to do it, to make a strategy. That's really difficult. That's a hard job, you know. We are a bit lucky in France because there is a system in which when you make an amount of concerts during the year, they give you money every month. It's not a lot of money, but you know, but that's really hard to make that amount of shows, in fact.
Yeah.
But at least there is something. There is something. I think that also how the countries and governments, they consider the artists themselves. When you go in poor countries, you can have no chance to have some, you know, to make a living with your music. You can do that in the countries who decide to help the artist too. So sometimes maybe you have to move and to go somewhere else.
Yep.
That's also an option.
This is true.
That's what I do.
You just go between France and New York, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I want to be in New York. Not because I will make money in New York, but there is a real essence of the music I want to make is in New York. Yeah. And I can use the French system to make it, you know.
Yeah.
But not only the French system, also the American system. So you have to find ways to make it possible.
Yeah.
Everything is possible.
That makes sense. So we're about to run out of time, guys. So we're going to have to wrap up. Gaia, do you have a final question that you want to ask, Lauren?
Can it be like my final question, or it has to be
want to do with one before your final? That's totally cool.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with my final question. So this is a question that has nothing to do with music, but okay. It's the question for this year that I always ask any guest that I can ask. What's your favorite shark?
My favorite what?
Shark. Requin.
What's that? Huh?
Requin. Yeah.
Yes, I understood this, in fact. Okay. I was just wondering, what is that question? Because my girlfriend, she always asks me what my favorite dinosaur.
Oh, I asked that too.
I never know. So I know which one I like, but shark, I think I should say, I don't know how to say that in English. Requin marteau.
Oh, okay, it's the I can't remember it, but it's the one that has like the weird face.
With a hammer, yes.
Hammer, like armor shark. Yeah.
Ah, we say that? Okay, so
yeah,
that's perfect.
The same
so
thing, yeah.
Cool. I'm glad we have a translator here. This is good. So, Laurent, thank you for coming on the show. Do you have any final words you want to say before we talk?
Be strong. That's my final word.
Cool. Okay, and with that, we are done.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.